3HL powered by the Tennessee Lottery on 104.5 The Zone. Gotta get Chris Lowe involved. Strange at this point of the year when you see a college basketball coach leave for another gig. But that's exactly what happened. Michigan coach John Beilein going to Cleveland. Cleveland Cavaliers. Chris Lowe joins us now to discuss. Chris, what's up? How are you?
Hey, Brent. Great to be with you guys.
So what do you think ends up happening at Michigan? Can we get Billy Donovan back in the college game?
I don't know. Billy, when he went to the NBA from Florida, it was one of those deals where, initially, because remember, Orlando was where initially it looked like he was going to go, and then that fell through, in the same state, and he ends up, outside. I don't know. I don't think so, but you never say never. I mean, those guys, you get to the NBA, you make a lot of money, you don't have to recruit. That's a big advantage of coaching in the NBA. The travel is pretty tough, but it's a it's a whole different animal when you have to recruit. Some guys like to do that, some guys don't. But the Michigan job will be very attractive. There'll be a lot of people that will look at that job as one where you can attract great players. One you can win a national championship. One that really just about in any year, if things go right, you're going to have a legitimate chance to get to the Final Four. Or at least be swimming in those waters. So I think it's a job that there's going to be a lot of people that, because every fan base, Brent, we've talked about this before, thinks that when their job comes open that all the A-listers are going to be beating down their door for the job. I do think Michigan basketball, while every A-lister will be beating down their door, will attract a lot of quality candidates.
It's interesting, Chris. John Beilein at 66 takes the job. And we were all talking last week about, oh gosh, it's an NBA vacancy. They're going to hire some guy who's been with six other teams. I got to hand it to the Cavaliers, man. They went outside the box on this hire, and this guy is supposed to be, one of the better X's and O guys and the better developers of talent that there is. So it'll be interesting to see what he can do in the NBA.
Yeah, and I'm surprised, Mickey, that more franchises haven't done this, because really the NBA has sort of been just a recycling of coaches, they go from this job to that job. It's sort of that same pool of coaches, and you haven't seen them go outside, as you say, outside the box a lot, get guys of this magnitude. But hey, if you can coach and you can draw plays, you can get the most out of your players, and you can adapt, which all great coaches can, why not go for somebody like Beilein, who's proven? See, I love, you go back and look at Beilein's path to where he is now in coaching. He's coached at just about every level.
Yep.
I mean, every single level. You talk about the guy who's the epitome, the antithesis of a coach that's born on third base, it would be John Beilein. I mean, he's coached it at the smallest of levels, and he's worked his way up all the way up to where, Michigan now going to the NBA. I think there's something to be said for that, and I think those kind of coaches, you look at the NFL, guys like Belichick and Parcells, much the same route. And I'm not saying John Beilein's going to have that kind of success, win the kind of championship those guys did, but I've always liked coaches that sort of come up from the bottom all the way up through the ranks and work their way up the way John Beilein had.
Yeah, he definitely started from the bottom. Now he's here.
Do you think at some point Billy Donovan does get back into the college game? Don mentioned earlier his distaste for recruiting, and that aspect of the game, but could you see him making his way back into the college game?
Well, that's why I mentioned that a minute ago. I don't know that. Well, I know and have talked to people very close to that situation that Don's 100% right. He didn't like. He really completely changed the way he was recruiting there toward the end of Florida. Remember, there for a while they were really trying to go and get all the McDonald's All Americans and all these guys who were rated out the wazoo, and he sort of took a step back and said, I'm not going to do that anymore. And if you go back and look at their team, those teams that won it all back-to-back years, I think there were one or two on those teams, but some of those guys were not, the players that Duke, Carolina, Kentucky, all the schools were going after. And I think he sort of backed away from that a little bit. And I guess part of it was you get tired after a while having to play that game when you're recruiting in those waters. I think that would be the part that would keep him out, you know, keep him from going back and taking another shot at college basketball.
I had a laugh at this, Chris Lowe, our guest. So Nick Saban, he got his hip replaced recently, but he played golf before he went in for the surgery on Monday, and he was back in the office by Wednesday morning. I mean, my man, he's not going to miss work. I mean, you're just not going to have him miss any work. He's not doing it.
Oh no, I touched base with him just the other day, and trust me, he won't be playing golf for a while, but out playing around, but he's assured me that he's going to be out chipping and putting here. He says closer to days as opposed to weeks. I mean, you're just not going to – he's just the epitome of the guy that's never going to be sitting around. He's always going to be up doing something and ahead of the game. But you're right. That's what he is. And anybody who's ever played for him or spent much time around him or worked with him knows that that's just the way he's wired. And I think it's probably – initially, I think it drove his wife, Terry, crazy. We heard the story that – you know, she thought she had him the first day he was out back home. She thought she had him on his ice machine and maybe taking a little nap in the recliner. She had a few minutes to go run a few errands. She gets back home, and he's standing out in the driveway. Said, you know, he's just about to go crazy in the house. He had to get out and walk around a little bit. So, no, he's in the office. I talked to his trainer, the Alabama trainer, Jeff Allen, who, besides being one of the best trainers in the game, is absolutely just a terrific human being. But Jeff said that they have set up what's essentially a makeshift training room in his office and film room. So that's where he's going to be now. You know, he can't be on the road anyway. Head coaches can't be on the road recruiting in May anyway. So he's in there watching tape of recruits, future opponent. So, I mean, outside of him maybe not getting as many rounds of golf, he's working as many hours as he ever did.
We're at a golf tournament today. I'm curious, in your travels, do you have any good golf stories with a coach or former coach?
Well, the best golf stories involve Spurrier. I mean, there's some epic ones. Two of my favorite, one of them involves Bob Stoops. They were playing right after, it seems like one year the PGA Championship was held at Whistling Straits. And the Monday or Tuesday after, they kept the tees the same, and Bobby, as Spurrier called him, were playing there. Stoops and Spurrier. I think Dan Patrick might have been playing with him too. And Stoops said he hit one off the tee, and you guys are probably familiar with Whistling Straits. He said he was down the cliff in the weeds. And, you know, if you play with Spurrier, you're playing everything out. I mean, there's no such thing as dropping one in the fairway and hitting it.
Yeah, and so there's usually money involved too.
Not usually, but always. Bob says he finally hacks it out of there and it's a par four, and he gets it up on the green and says he two or three putts, and he, you know, walks off and says, God, had a 10 on that hole. And Spurrier sort of stops on a dime, whirls around, and said, Bobby, actually, I think it was an 11.
Steve.
He's full of golf stories. And I tell you what, you put everything out. I don't care if it's a foot and a half or 2 feet. And he's watching. He knows, put it this way, Steve knows your score as well or better than he knows what your score is, what his score is.
So competitive. Love
is
it.
Is he going to jump into the XFL here?
Yeah.
All-time winningest coach in the Alliance history.
Yeah, he was really bummed, though, about the way this last deal ended. He was mostly in, and I think it sort of matched what he wanted to do now. He had no interest getting back in recruiting, but just to get out, coach, call ball plays, in his words, I think the way it ended was a bummer. So I don't know. I know he's bored, and I know he wants to coach again. He wants to do something again in football. As he's told me, he can only play so much golf, and I'd say he's probably driving his wife, Jerry, crazy too.
Now, one that is going to coach an XFL team, I guess it came out today. I think our buddy John McClain reported it. June Jones will coach the Houston XFL team. How about that?
I think June Jones, was he coaching back when Roger Staubach played? He did the coaching at some level for seemingly five decades. You know, I'm being a little facetious, obviously.
Yeah. He's 67. Yeah.
And been such an innovator, Don. You go back and look at all the different things in football, especially when it comes to throwing the football and doing some of the different things in the throw game. A lot of those, if they didn't originate with Junior, things that he helped perfect or he was a big part of. So, again, those guys like that just can't get out of their blind. I mean, that's who they are. I mean, they love, you know, not doing it for the money, and certainly the money at the highest level is great, but they love coaching, and they love the game, they love the sport, and I know Junior was like that. I go back to, you know, remember those Hawaii teams he had when who was his quarterback that set all those records?
Colt Brennan.
Yep. Yeah. And they were, they were fun to watch. I mean, it was like watching hockey on a football field. And but no, it's cool to see those guys get back in and see June get back in it.
Well, Chris, we appreciate the time. Always enjoy the visits, man. We'll touch base with you on Friday.
All right. See you guys.
All right. Thanks, Chris Lowe at CLO ESPN. When we come back, Pete Thamel has 10 candidates to replace John Beilein at Michigan. It's a quality list, and there's just one SEC name on it. We'll share that with you next. 3HL, powered by the Tennessee Lottery on 104.5 The Zone. You can get us on Twitter, at 3HL1045, and on Facebook, 3HL. Take it, Morgan.